Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
Yeah, that was my rosary. And also, there's a guy there who's a huge sports fan, and he was like dying to talk to me about the divisional weekend of the NFL. And I was like, sir, can we talk about like the Book of Exodus or something?
Right, like,
anything but this. Anything but this, please. It's my day off. Can we not do this?
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
You don't even have to agree with who I like to at least acknowledge that there might be an opportunity for the prices to shift dramatically in the next 2 to 3 weeks. If you want to make it so you're heavy on Luka because you agree with me, great. If you want to put zero on Luka because you think I'm nuts, great. We're not all going to keep the same portfolio here because I don't want that responsibility of managing that.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Of course, we're on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube, the Odyssey app. I have gone down a rabbit hole, Ken Barkley, and this is a problem. I have found way many fictional
jerseys. Problem.
It
seems like a great, great content problem to have, honestly.
I'm not sure. It actually may be great. So far, I've got the Bobby Boucher jersey hanging behind me, which, of course, you can see on all of our various video streams. I've got a Jackie Moon jersey, and I've got, of course, the Shane Falco, which seems to be the most popular, I feel like, among people. That gets the regular attention. But I want to add more to this little group. And I've gotten a lot of help from a lot of people so far. And so far, the jerseys that I've found, and there are a lot more I could go through, Ricky Vaughn, Willie Beeman, Jesus Shuttlesworth, and I think the king of them all, a Ray Finkel jersey. These are all sitting in my cart right now, and I think I may just order all four of them because it's just, I can't say no to any of them. I mean, how can you say no to Ray Finkel? I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts. I mean, that's all I think of when I hear the name, among other things in that movie. But like, there,
right. This many is, other things, as it turns out, potentially.
Many
right.
Other things, yes. Maybe I can get Odyssey.
Like Jim Carrey with a plunger on his face, just by pushing repeatedly back and forth. Just, yeah, maybe that scene. Right.
See, think I can expense this to Odyssey? They'll just buy them all for me? They might. We'll
right.
See.
Boy, talk about a movie you could never get made today, by the way, with some of the scenes that we hate, like indirectly referencing. My God. Yeah.
There are a lot of things you couldn't make today that were made back in the day, for being
basically
honest.
Basically, just make a bunch of superhero sequels. That's what you can make today, basically. That's
what yeah, you know what, man? Those things print movie or print money. And I don't even blame you. Now you got the spinoffs where they do spinoffs of the universe where there's a whole series. And, you know, so what is your vote out of those four? Ricky Vaughn, Willie Beeman, Jesus Shuttlesworth, and Ray Finkel. If I could only pick one.
To put behind you to match the others, it should probably be Finkel, actually.
Okay. Now,
like,
I don't want to
matches like what the others are about
either,
basically.
Yeah.
Like it goes with all the other ones. Like if you bought Willie Beeman, it makes no sense next to the other ones.
This is
even
true.
Ricky Vaughn doesn't this make like, a ton of sense next to the other ones. It makes a little more, but because it's like parody, but.
Right.
I would say, I think you got to buy a Finkel jersey. I think it's kind of what you have to do.
All right. I think I'm buying the Finkel jersey. I think that's what it's going to be. This is going to be a thing. Every time I come on here, we're just going to pick out a new jersey for me, and we'll just, you know, people on Twitch can vote, and we'll just go from there. How about that?
Love it. Yeah, everything about it. That's why people are like, I tuned in for NBA, and now we're talking about what jersey is going to be behind that.
Hey, well, listen. Yeah, I mean, come on now. We talked about the Yeah, you did, and got us into the Constitution that one time, which is still the most famous one. The poor guy that was studying constitutional law wanted a break, turned on the show, and was literally listening to us talk about that. And it's your fault, by the
Jay
way.
Kassan, I knew nothing. AKA Master of the Third Amendment. Yeah, guy who knew everything about it, in and ins and outs. Knew everything about it. Nobody knew what the Third Amendment was. Jake, happy to walk on in and give us the answer.
Way more than us, that's for sure. Yeah. And knew way more than us.
Quarter of the soldiers or something. I already forgot what it was, but something like that.
So, you know, we're kind of at the point now in the NBA where we've gotten a good sample size of what a lot of these teams are. And now that we're getting out of, knock on wood, and I'm going to say knock on wood, obviously, for this, we're getting away from a lot of the health and safety protocols. I think the burst of that in the NFL and the NBA seems to hopefully be gone. So we're starting to get much more of a vibe for certain teams in terms of especially the favorites right now. But when you go down the odds, like just that Bet Rivers has, for example, of like the Nets are still the favorite at plus 275 to win the title. The Warriors are have the second best odds at plus 450, and they are struggling right now. We talked to Brian Scalabrine last hour, and one of the things he brought up was that some of this is just needing Draymond Green back, which it's true. This is giving you an example of how important Draymond Green is to this Warriors team. He doesn't necessarily put up the biggest numbers, but his basketball IQ he is a basketball genius. He's so smart. If you've ever watched him break down film, he is unbelievably smart when it comes to understanding the game of basketball, and we're seeing that absence now really affect the Warriors. Phoenix is plus 650. You got Milwaukee at 7-1, Utah 11-1, Miami and the Lakers at 14-1. There's a majority of these teams right now in the NBA where I understand that there is certainly some level of parity given the fact that a team like the Lakers, who you thought was stacked, they have no shot. Right now, the Lakers making the playoffs, Ken, is a maybe at this point. I mean, that's how bad it is. Now, Anthony Davis may be returning tonight, so there's an opportunity there. But, you know, maybe Milwaukee and Brooklyn and the Golden State Warriors, if they can get back to being healthy and have that chemistry, those are the only teams that I truly feel confident in winning the NBA title this year. That's it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with. So what was your list again? So I heard, because
Brooklyn,
my thing glitched a little bit there. So Brooklyn, Golden State,
and Milwaukee. Maybe I would put Phoenix in there. I do worry a little bit about just did we see the peak of Phoenix last year when it came to the playoffs? I think that's my only worry there. But look, they were in the finals, and so were the Bucks last year. And if I'm comfortable in the Bucks going back, I still think the Bucks maybe are a better team, but I also find it tough to go against Chris Paul. I feel like I want to see him win a title. Like, I really do want to see Chris Paul win a title. So maybe I can talk myself into putting Phoenix in there. But Brooklyn at plus 275, Golden State at plus 450, Milwaukee 7-1 are like the three. Utah, Utah is too inconsistent. Miami has their moments now where they're really good, but then, now you have those times where they cannot score at all, and then Jimmy Butler's getting hurt, and they're dealing with injuries, and the Lakers are a mess. We know that I wouldn't even go near them. Chicago, okay, now they've got injuries. You don't have Lonzo Ball anymore. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. There's just not as much parity as we are probably going to have in the playoffs. I just don't see that many teams that I'm comfortable in saying that they're going to win a title.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I think, Chicago, Miami, Utah. Actually, I don't know about Miami in this group. Chicago and Utah for sure fit that category of what Scal was talking about, where it's like, is there like a supernova version of this team that could actually like even get to the finals in either team's case? And Utah's got a ton of issues going on right now. Not a lot of them are injury driven. Mitchell's been in concussion protocol. Gobert's been out. Now the team also was struggling a little bit with some of those players in the line, but a lot of their struggles are driven by who's playing and who's not playing. One of the really bizarre things about this NBA season is going to be similar to a problem we faced last year, and how the two COVID seasons, if we group them together, like where guys were, and I call them the COVID seasons because seasons where guys were more likely to miss games because of protocols, as opposed to just conventional injuries and conventional missed games due to injuries. These two seasons have been weird because up until last season, the regular season was incredibly predictive of who was going to win the title every year, like crazy predictive. So the magic number for the NBA season, hilariously enough, used to be winning 69% of your games. Used to be like you could chop it off at 70 and like you would still include basically every champion. But it's basically like every single champion for like 40 years won just a ton of regular season games. And as long as you did that, even the teams that were unlikely to win, so the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard would be like a team that people did not consider likely to win the title until we started going through the playoffs and the Warriors sustained those injuries. Raptors won more than 69% of their games that year. So like even the ones that were surprising fit the profile. Now the problem with last year and this year is that it's really easy to understand, right? If players are more likely to miss games for a variety of reasons, injuries, second night of back-to-back, and player kind of empowerment to miss those games, plus COVID protocols, then you have a little bit more of a problem inferring from the regular season who is truly the elite contending teams, right? So they're basically, there's only two teams right now, and we're more than past the halfway point of the season, that have won at that clip so far to start. It's Phoenix and Golden State are the only teams that have won, I believe, at that clip to start the year that would like fit that conventional profile. But the problem is, if we look at all the other teams that are slightly under that threshold, and we can ask ourselves, can anybody get there? And the answer is yes. But like, does it, like if Brooklyn wins 67% of their games, I think we all understand that this Nets team is comprised a little bit differently, where their overall winning percentage may not be predictive of who's going to win. So it's kind of, these last couple of years have really thrown me for a loop in trying to assess regular season performance as like a predictor for how teams are going to be in the playoffs. I think it makes it really, 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 really tough. So like, how many teams can win? Because like, you know, if this is 5 years ago, I'm like, all right, like it's Suns, Warriors, and then can some of the teams in the East get to like that 70% threshold and sort of put together, string together performances where they prove that they're contenders? I think Milwaukee can. I guess Brooklyn still can, but they're such a, just a, like, are they going to have everybody together long enough to do it? And that might be it. Miami can. You know, I think that's probably it. And then maybe Memphis can on the other side because they have the easiest schedule the rest of the season. That might be another one for meeting that threshold. So like traditional criteria, those that would kind of be the group of teams, right? Because you'd think they could get to that regular season threshold, and obviously they kind of check all the other boxes too, honestly, to get there, like having an individual superstar, except for Miami and the like. So I'm with you on your list of three. That's the easy list. I would definitely put Phoenix. I would definitely put Phoenix on the list too. I like, if they're going to be the best,
You have enough confidence that they'd be able to match a similar run this coming year, like they did last year.
Yeah, so when Scal said that his case for the Warriors and his case against Phoenix was like, basically came down to, like, he used the word supernova, but what he's saying is basically the best version of the Warriors is better than the best version of the Suns.
And that's my biggest issue, can the Suns get through the Warriors?
Right. Well, he's right.
I don't know if they can.
But that doesn't mean that's how the series is going to play out. Like, that's not, like he's right. But I think there's a lot of extremes with the Warriors of like when they get there and health and like how they're playing. Like, that doesn't have to be their best series. Doesn't have to be the Western Conference Finals. Like, the Suns' average performance is probably better than the Warriors' average performance. And the Warriors' ceiling is probably just higher. So I guess my point would just be, and the reason I asked him that question when he said he liked Chris Paul to an MVP, like, I'm not sure the distance between Golden State and Phoenix is as wide as the market was making it right now. And it's not even a big difference. Like, you see the prices and it looks like a big difference, but it's not percentage wise. But like, should there be any difference? Like, should there be? And like, why should there be? I guess that's my question. Like, belief that because the Warriors have been to the finals before and that like we were part of an original kind of like dynasty run, that they deserve more credit in this situation, which I'm not entirely sure is like a right way to price something necessarily when the Suns literally got to the finals last year. So I don't know, like, the difference between those two teams strikes me as interesting, Nick. And then is there between now and the end of the year?
One thing, well, let me just bring this up real quick. One thing with the Suns, though, remember last year, is that every single series they went through, the team they played was missing one of their, if not their biggest stars.
Sure. The Lakers were clowning them. LeBron was hitting those jumpers. Yeah. Everybody was joking around against Jay Crowder. Davis gets hurt and the series falls apart. So, I mean, I agree with you.
Changed everything. There's no Jamal Murray with Denver, you know, so you start going down that list and you realize these are teams that weren't necessarily at full strength. But we also are seeing the Suns, again, look like a very good team, a title contender. But I root for Chris Paul. I want to see Chris Paul win a title, but I just don't know if the Suns are better than the Bucks, the Warriors, when they finally figure this whole thing out. And the problem really there is the Nets, because James Harden apparently isn't happy. You've got Kevin Durant hurt. Does he stay healthy the rest of the season after that? And then Kyrie's a part-time player.
I think, so let me, just to go back to the Suns thing for a second, the way I wanted to frame one of the discussions, because I've thought about setting this up, because I like Phoenix a good amount. Not more than I like Golden State, but they're in my bucket of teams that I think can win the title this year, based on what I've seen so far. And I think, basically, if you took the best price you could find on both Golden State and Phoenix, and this leads into kind of my next question, basically, which is, if we're going to add any other team to the bucket between now and the end of the year in either conference, who is the most likely team to be added to the bucket? If we can say three plus Phoenix, who's the next team to be added? So if you want to think about that, just my question that I was going to pose to you about Golden State and Phoenix, if we feel like there isn't a team Like, I'm never in my life going to bet on Utah to do anything in the playoffs. And I've said that for 3 years. And people got mad at me a couple of years ago when the show first started, because I was like, I would go on, like, Utah would have 50 wins, and I would go on and say their chances of winning the title are 0%. People would be like, well, it's not zero. And I'd be like, okay, cool, bet them then. Like, let's see what happens. Yeah. Like, it's zero. And I just have been really anti them in a playoff series forever. Mm-hmm. So you're just never going to convince me. Like, I'll happily lose my money betting against Utah in a big spot. Just will happily do it. And if it's not them, is it Memphis, is it somebody else? So right now, if you took the best price on the Warriors and the Suns and you put it together, you could basically create a bet on, like, will Warriors or Suns win, or will someone else win the West? And I would have to figure out what it pays, but it's like 250, 350. I mean, it's gotta be like even, at least something like that. Basically the bet that you could create on those two teams to win the Western Conference. Actually it might be 150, probably a minus, probably like a small minus price. Actually, that's gonna be my guess. But even if it's like minus 150, minus 175, if you really think there's not another team in the bucket, like, is that a bet that you could create right now? Like, is that bet interest you, that those two teams together?
It would. Yeah. I'd be more comfortable with that.
Who's beating you? That's my question. Who's beating you?
Yeah. That's really where we are. Like, we can sit here and talk about all the parity and all these good teams, like Memphis, teams like the Grizzlies.
Memphis beating you? Yeah.
Memphis isn't there yet. Memphis, give me.
The Lakers beating you?
The Lakers may not make the playoffs. Like,
well, but regular season is not. Maybe not be predictive anymore. We might be in a new era where it's not predictive anymore. The Lakers weren't the greatest team ever in the regular season last year, and they clowned the team that ended up making the finals until Davis got hurt. So, like, I'm not saying this is that Westbrook's hideous, but like,
I was going to say, they didn't have Russell Westbrook helping this team fall apart.
I'm just saying, can they ever
turning the ball over 9 times and shooting 3 for 15?
Okay. Well, if there's nobody else in the bucket, you got to make the bet. I mean,
yeah, I have no confidence in the Lakers, that's for sure. Honestly, I don't even know there's anybody else in that bucket. I really don't. We'll follow up more on this and look at the MVP race in the NBA as well. This is You Better You Bet on BetQL.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Nick Ashew on BetQL.
Ken, I got a great suggestion from Mr. Covey on Twitter, and I didn't think about this with the whole Jersey quest that I have for another random fake fictional movie, TV, something type character. I don't really know what to categorize it as. Jersey hang behind me. Kenny Powers. Why did I not think of Kenny Powers?
He's bounding down.
Kenny Powers is going to be added to the cart. I'm going to find that jersey.
That'll fit with the ones behind you too. That's like that one fits a lot, and Finkel fits a lot. Kenny Powers might fit even more than Finkel does with the other ones.
I think you're right. I think we've narrowed it down to those two. Ray Finkel and Kenny Powers, maybe the next two added to this group. This is going to get extensive at some point.
This is all very exciting. Let me tell you. This is all very exciting.
Honestly, I'm just glad people like the bit, because I thought about it. I was like, why? Everybody has real jerseys. Why don't we give the fake characters we all love some love? So here we go. Sure. This is where I am. I'm giving Bobby Boucher love, and Ray Finkel's going to get some love, and we'll go from there, I guess. And we'll figure out what happens with that.
Are you buying? So wait, so what's like, how do we resolve this? So you're definitely buying, one, or you're buying a lot?
I think it's good. I'm probably not a lot, unless Odyssey wants to pay for it. If anybody wants to call the boss,
it'll be good.
Yeah.
Just that whole wall of like pictures of actual sporting events behind you. That wall needs to get wiped out. We need to replace that with more jerseys. Like, well, I don't want real sporting events.
You're right. We should probably do that. Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I got to celebrate these DC championships back here. It took a long time to get those. So I got to at least have some of that stuff back there. This is a random Tiger Woods. Yeah. See, I try to do it this way. There's Nationals and Capitals and District of Champions right up here. I'm like a weatherman, like trying to point and do it. That needs to be filled with something else. That's
cold
just
weather
DC right now.
Moving through the Southeast.
You're going right right over here. And if you look up here to the right, the on-air sign, and you know, there's a Wheaties box here. If I turn this way, that's a Wheaties box with a Tiger Woods Golf 2000 disc sitting in it, unwrapped.
Yeah,
that's how old that
thing is. That thing might be worth a whole like 5 cents. That'd be like, those be the kind of games where you take them to, do you ever go to like Funko Land when you were growing up? Did you ever like go there and
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah.
This was like pre-GameStop before like they were the only ones that gave you stuff. Yeah. Go to like Funko Land and they would have this printout. It's like you were trading penny stocks or something. I mean, this like thing you go to get this like brochure of just like, here's what we will pay you for everything in your, and it was obviously their lowballing you because that's their business model. But you would always look at this. It was always the best because I used to play a lot of sports games. And I would, you know, when I'm like eight and we would go to Funko Land, I'd be like, well, maybe I could trade in my sports games. You know, like I'm eight. I have no idea about money, like, or how anything works. And I would go and I'd be like, oh, I have like, you know, NFL Game Day 97. Like, what will I get for that? And it's like May 1998. And they're like, like a dollar. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, paid like $50 for this. Like, what are you talking about? That's, you know, Tiger Woods 2000.
It's not worth the same that it used to. Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. The way like trading cards have gone up in value, maybe this will go up in value. We'll see. I have to look up what the value of it would be. Tiger Woods Wheaties box from 2000. That's all I got. Maybe it's 99.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be something. It's still in the other memorabilia.
I'm not great on that one. Yeah, not great.
Now the question is, how stale would the cereal be though? 21 years old.
Well, that's like the Georgia fan that drank the Coke that was like from 1970, whatever the last time the title was, and everyone's like, "Your poor stomach." Like that's got to be rough. But does Coca-Cola go bad? Like, does it?
I don't. Like, what happens? It can clean your toilet, so I don't know if it really goes bad.
It's like the most unnatural substance possible. I mean, there's no way that.
Yeah.
Like in years, it just becomes. I mean, who knows? Like, I guess it could like corrode your insides probably at some point. But
oh, I'm sure it's just got to be awful for you.
Yeah.
I know there was Coke goes flat. Falls apart.
Yeah, but if the carbonation goes away, that doesn't mean it like goes bad, like the same way milk goes bad, spoils.
Okay, this is disgusting. From Scott, the only way to eat the 99 Wheaties is milk of similar vintage. There you go.
Oh, perfect. So 21. Yeah, Scott and I have been thinking the same way. Disgustingly perfect. Yeah.
Anybody have milk that's aged like wine? Because that'd be what I'm looking for right now.
I keep a 99 Gorelick Farms in my basement, my cellar. I keep a early 2000s hood down there. Really, just waiting to fire that thing up.
there was a
talk about milk like that. It'd be amazing. It'd be absolutely phenomenal.
Vintage.
I keep a 01 hood, just saving it for a special occasion, you know.
I actually have a 93 whole milk too as well, if you'd like to try some of that.
Lovely. Absolutely. Yeah. I find the 2% get a little better with it. The aging time is a little different on them. The 1%, you gotta let them breathe, you know.
There's a little too much curdling, I think, from some of the fat in the whole milk, so I try not to let that age as long. After about 10 years, I feel like it's hit its peak of aging, so you know, we keep it right about there. Ugh, making my stomach churn just thinking about drinking milk that gross.
What do you have for dinner tonight? Well, I was gonna fry up some get a grill of steak going, and then
milk chunks.
Pop open a nice 03 hood. Just get that. I think it pairs with it really well. I think we're gonna do.
Have you ever watched people chug milk till they puke? Because that's pretty funny.
I think I was a part of. Like you, some kind of truth or dare,
were you?
Truth or dare thing, some kind of like dare situation in college like that. I can't remember the exact details. I feel like that was engaged in and the person vomited. And I remember being like, why did any of this happen? Like, what was, why did we do this? Most people, when they go through anything in college, why did we do this?
Yeah. I've seen two not drink. Thank you. This is very good that we put this right down here on our screen, please.
Get the corporate liability going. Yeah. So
I did.
If you have an 03 hood, I mean, don't you owe it to yourself?
Take a little sip.
See what it's about. Right.
See what happens.
I mean, you're holding history, you know?
Now, what if it's the powdered milk? Does that expire at all? Or can that still just be aged?
I bet, man, that's like, all it is just like chemicals, basically. How could it go bad?
I'm sure.
It's just like a bag of powder. That's a bunch of jokes there. I guess it's fine. Sure.
I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
Honestly,
well, as opposed
not
to like the carton of milk, which I know isn't fine. Like the powdered milk. So what would happen?
A 10-year shelf life for powdered milk?
I guess. Yeah.
I guess that's the point. I guess that's the point.
Now I'm really out of my element. Now I got nothing. Yeah.
I know. This is what always happens. Every time I come on the show, we get so far out of our element.
Well, who else is going to win
the
title?
Are there odds?
Let's do NBA. Odds to
yeah.
Who else is going to win the title? So you got your bucket of three. Not a bucket of milk. It's a bucket of three.
You got
Golden State, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn are in your bucket.
Yeah. Those are my three.
Who is the next team, if there was a team between now and the end of the year that you would feel comfortable, like April 1st, who is the most likely team that we have not talked about of those four, where you'd be like, that team is in my bucket? Who would it be?
Well, if you're going to put those in, then yeah, I would add Phoenix to the bucket as like the next
one. Who's the next
one?
I already said Phoenix. Who's the next one?
Right. Okay. So then after that, if I'm going down that road, oh boy, you know what yours is?
I do.
I'm just not impressed by so many of these other teams. I think I'd go Miami. I think I'd go Miami at 14-1. I love Jimmy Butler. I love what that organization's built. They're tough. They just grind with any team. They've already been to one NBA Finals. There's just something about that Heat team. They've always been underrated. And they're the top seed in the Eastern Conference right now. And with Chicago fading a little bit with the injuries, Miami starting to gain some steam. Philadelphia is pretty much just leaning on Joel Embiid all by himself the rest of the way. I would add Miami as that next tier in at 14-1.
So I think Miami is the most likely for me to like feel that way about them going into the year. But from an odds standpoint, the thing that's really interesting is, so Memphis is like ahead of schedule in every conceivable way, right? Ja's ahead of schedule, the team's ahead of schedule, and they're awesome. I mean, they're really fun, and they have a lot of marquee wins already this year. I mean, everybody knows this. We talked about it forever. Everyone's talked about it forever so far this year. We're on a 10-game winning streak. Beat the Warriors and talked trash afterwards, which was incredible. The interesting thing with Memphis is not that I think I can like visualize them winning the title easily, or that it even makes sense historically that a team like them would come along and like upend the other teams that we were talking about who are like established teams. But like, if Memphis is the one seed, so Memphis has basically the easiest schedule the rest of the season remaining. Mm-hmm. If Memphis is the one, like, what does that do? Like, do you bet 30 now? Like, it's almost like I'm like, do I bet Memphis 30 thinking they have no chance to win the title, but they could be the one seed? In which case, the price isn't 30 anymore. And Phoenix and Golden State could play each other in the second round when that happens. If the schedule's really that advantageous for Memphis down the stretch. And Golden State has a pretty easy schedule, too. It's not just Memphis. But I don't know, like 30 on Memphis, I'm kind of like, even if I don't think they can win, if I can get a team that could be the one seed at the end of the season at 30, and it's almost February, that's kind of weird, right? Isn't that kind of like a price that, I don't know. That was like the only other one. I agree Miami's the answer, but like, I don't know. It's kind
of get your mindset with it, because you're looking at it from a value standpoint and whether they're trending in the right direction right now, right?
Well, it breaks the bracket. Because then they get like Utah or Dallas or something like that, who they can beat at their place with home court advantage.
You're saying if they're a one seed?
Yeah.
If they're a one seed, it may be like, I mean, it could be more like the Timberwolves or the Lakers, though. I don't know. Utah's the four seed right now.
If it was the Timberwolves, I'd bet the 30 right now. I mean, I wouldn't even think about it. I think it's the most likely to be Utah still, because they'll get everybody back and then they'll start winning again. I mean, I think that's the most likely thing. But like, I'll take that and have Phoenix and Golden State play each other and I have 30. Like, I may not have to hedge that to the conference finals. And then they're going to host the series. I mean, they'll be a big dog, but
they're 15-8 straight up on the road, too. They're a good team on the road. It's not just a home thing.
They throw an interesting wrench into things.
They do. And look, they're fun to watch. John Morant is incredible. I mean, what he's been able to do this year, and he's now, where is he? He's 12-1 to win MVP at Bet Rivers. So he's climbed like crazy. I mean, you know, you were talking about Jokic and Embiid specifically. I remember last week when I was on with you and you...
Yeah, how clairvoyant was that?
And then he had 50 points literally that night, and he's been nonstop ever since.
We did the show Tuesday, Wednesday night he had 50.
Yeah, but you've ruined the market now, though, because he was 20-1 and now he's 5-1. So that's all your fault. I want you to know
that. Who would you pick? So you like Ja. So the new values of Bet Rivers, Giannis and Steph. Boy, remember when Steph was like -125 a week ago? How funny was that market? Giannis and Steph +250, Jokic and Embiid +500, Morant +1200. We don't have to do anybody else if you don't want to. Luka 50 is a bet that I advocated for, but like, we don't have to talk about that in this conversation if you don't want to. So Giannis and Steph +250, Jokic and Embiid +5-1, Ja 12-1. Had to bet the market right now. Had to pick one guy at these prices. Is there one bet that stands out, or you're just passing?
I mean, look, I'm with you on Embiid. I feel like that's actually the smartest play there because he was the guy that was the front runner last year, or the, you know, the runner up last year. Because the big thing is that Ja Morant is the next guy up now. He's in that conversation, but you usually don't win it when you jump up this quickly, right? It's usually you're in the conversation, you get close, people give you a lot of second place votes, third place votes, and it's all right, maybe next year we'll see you get to that point. That was Joel Embiid last year. The only other thing that I would say would be Nikola Jokic winning again, one, because he's carrying the Nuggets by himself, and two, if you go back and look so often, most of the time when people win multiple MVPs, it's in back-to-back sets. That's just the history of it. Jordan, it was always back-to-back, never three in a row. The last guy to win three in a row was Larry Bird. That's how long it's been. But you have a lot of two back-to-backs in Duncan, in LeBron, in Jordan, in Steph, in Steve Nash, right? Steve Nash won back-to-back. So you go down this list and start thinking, well, okay, that would be the only thing that might lean me towards Nikola Jokic. It's just the history of the award has gone that direction a lot, where this is your time, you're at the peak now, we're going to give you the credit now, and then we're going to move on, and somebody else is going to get the votes, and you'll pretty much never be considered again.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is the question I asked Kostas yesterday, but it was like in 5 seconds since we were closing a segment. If I give you two tandems of players, and which tandem is the winner more likely to come from, Giannis and Steph, who are the favorites, +250 each, Jokic and Embiid 5-1, the third and fourth choice to win the award. Which tandem is most likely to produce the winner? What would you say?
Jokic and Embiid.
By far, Embiid. Right? Like not even close.
Yeah. I just, and Steph was the hot choice for a while, and he was having a great year, but the way the Warriors have fallen off and he hasn't shot the ball as well, and there's just so many other factors in there. And Steph kind of went past the point of like his prime MVP candidacy, right? There's another example. He got his MVPs. Now, you kind of go back and say, is he going to do it again? Like, I mean, even LeBron hasn't won since 2013. LeBron James has not won an MVP since 2013. So if he hasn't over that period of time, you know, as it goes on, if LeBron can't go back to being the MVP front runner, then I find it harder for even like Steph or Giannis to do it at this point. And the last guy, if you're looking at Giannis's case, what it would be 3 out of the last 4 years. Last guy to do that was Magic Johnson. So even that is very, very difficult to do if you look at the history of how this award is constantly voted on over just the course of decades.
It's amazing, by the way, that Trae Young got Eastern Conference Player of the Week. It's like actually amazing. One of the joke awards of all. Thank God we didn't bet on that award. Thank God we bet MVP instead. I would be so mad right now. Be like, well, I feel like Embiid's a lock for Player of the Week. Whoops. I guess they gave it to Trae Young instead when no one thought that was a good idea whatsoever. Good work. I totally agree with you, but I think that's so interesting. So like we have everybody who listens to the show, we're all in on Embiid really good. So it's not like there's some awesome action to take right now. Now that the whole point was Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic should all be priced about the same. That was the whole point last week. Now they're almost priced exactly the same. Like that's like everything worked. Like it's now it looks a little bit more like how it's supposed to look. My only point, like if for whatever reason you have no position, like I honestly, I'm not sure Steph has like, I'm not going to say any chance. He has a chance, but like it's a very small chance versus the other three. Mm-hmm. And his price is climbing. Like it was 125, even 250. It's going to keep climbing. Like it is. Like these guys, like the hay's already in the barn on this stuff. Twitter is destroying his shooting performances, saying they look like concert dates. Like the public is all over this. So like this is not a hidden thing. So it's interesting that the market's not nearly as broken as it was before. Things have adjusted significantly, but there is still a little value. Like if you have no position, like Jokic and Embiid are more likely to win than the other two, and they're third and fourth, which is a little crazy. Now I don't need to bet that right now, but that's interesting to consider.
I Embiid, I'm all over Embiid. I just wish I jumped on it sooner when you actually said it, because you look almost clairvoyant at this point. James Mazzola is going to join us next. We're going to look ahead to the Farmers Insurance Open. It's You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.